This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Sometimes people are inspired by hearing about the best of the best, the scholars who use their time so productively, their standards look exceedingly high. And we have some examples from their biographies, things that at times would stun us, would make us feel like we're not really doing much in our times. The great scholar, Imam Ahmad bin Hanbal, rahimahullah, he said, I only likened the stage of life, known as shabab, like the youth years of my life, to something that I had in my sleeve and then it just fell out. Meaning it was very quick. I mean, this is a saying, meaning what? It was a very quick part of life. And he lived for 77 years, rahmatullahi alayh. So we think about these years in which you are a youth, whether you are 13 all the way up to age 40 and onwards. Even if it is extended, even if a person makes it all the way up to the age of 40, the age of wisdom, and the next stage of their experience, it's still very short. It's a very short time. And even if you lived a long life on earth, it's still very short. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives us many reminders in the Quran so that we don't waste our time. And we see some of these scholars pushing themselves in ways that we don't see anymore. For example, Imam An-Nawawi rahimahullah, arguably one of the most prolific authors and one of the most productive scholars in Islamic history, some of the scholars in his own town and some of the students of knowledge would say that he would accomplish in a day what it would take them a year. He would work from morning to night. He would barely sleep. In fact, we have some very interesting descriptions from his students, his colleagues, some of his teachers as well, about his lifestyle and some of his own testimony later on in his life. He would say that he tried his best to never waste time. Whether it was night or day, he would try to keep seeking knowledge. When he was indoors or outdoors, he would try to stay engaged in ibadah, in muraja, reviewing what he was learning, reviewing the information that he had. And he did that for a number of years, rahmatullahi alayhi, and he started to teach after that. One time he said, I don't like to eat much because I fear that it's going to soften my body and make me tired. And today, subhanAllah, we see some people eating in the opposite manner. Eating so much, they become tired, they lose their energy, and what happens? They're not productive. Whether for this life or the next life, they lose their productivity. Why would you repeat such a habit if you know that that's going to affect your energy and then it's going to take away from your time? Does it make sense? Is it reasonable to live that as a lifestyle? If it happens every now and then, it might be reasonable. But to experience that on a daily basis, and then as a result to lose an extra hour or two or three because of that habit, ends up taking you from one action, which was eating to survive, to now losing out on 3 or 4 hours of your energy every single day. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forgive us, protect us, and guide us. Allahumma ameen. Imam An-Nawawi rahimahullah, at one point in his life, especially when he was seeking knowledge as a student, he used to sleep sitting up. And it was known that he would be sitting up either against the wall or stacks of books. And he did this for almost 2 years, that he did not lie down on the ground to sleep. Why? Because he would fall asleep reading, studying, learning. He was really, really pushing himself, rahmatullahi alayhi, engaging, of course, in acts of worship and fasting and so on and so forth. What ended up happening? He died at a young age for a scholar, rahmatullahi alayhi. Some scholars say at the age of 45 years. And yet he produced more than 300 books, 300 different publications we can benefit from, some of which have lasted to our times and some of which are familiar to most Muslims around the world. For example, the compilation of 40 hadith of Imam An-Nawawi rahimahullah is one of the most printed Islamic books in the world. Long after he departed from this world, may Allah have mercy on him. Why? Because of how much he valued his time, and we can assume how sincere he was with his time and with his efforts. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us sincerity. Allahumma ameen. Another of the scholars, Ibn Jarir rahimahullah, it was said that he wrote over 800 volumes. Now volumes could mean chapters or books. He wrote over 800. Another of the scholars, Al-Maqdisi rahimahullah, he used to pray more than 100 rak'ahs between Fajr and Dhuhr prayers. So you have the time of Dhuha, he used to use a lot of it for prayer. Another of the scholars used to say, the most burdensome time for me, the time that I don't really enjoy that much, is when I must eat, when I get really, really hungry and I have to spend time now eating. Another of the scholars, Ibn Taymiyyah rahimahullah, it was said that he wrote over 300 publications in diverse fields, some long, some short, and some scholars say it reached over 500 volumes. And his students, the great scholar, Ibn al-Qayyim rahimahullah, also 50 volumes of various sizes. And Bayhaqi rahimahullah, more than 1,000 different things that he wrote on, all original, beneficial, unparalleled. And he used to fast for a number of years in his life. In his biography, it was said that in fact, for 30 years of his life, he tried to fast, meaning he tried to have a regular habit of fasting. Rahmatullahi alayh. Interestingly, one of the beautiful gems from Ibn al-Qayyim rahimahullah, he lists all the benefits of dhikr, the remembrance of Allah. And then number 61, it's a little random, but he says the 61st benefit from dhikr, constant remembrance of Allah, he said it gives a person strength in their memory. It gives a person strength in their memory such that with dhikr, a person can achieve things that they otherwise would not imagine they would be able to achieve. He said, I witnessed of the strength of my teacher, Shaykh al-Islam Ibn Taymiyyah rahimahullah, in his speech, in his habits, in his courage, in his writing, and in his amazing ability, his capacity. He used to write in one day what would take, usually for other people, a week or longer to copy. Why? He used to live upon the habit of dhikr. He used to say, I cannot go about my day without dhikr. In one report from Ibn al-Qayyim rahimahullah, it was reported that his teacher, Ibn Taymiyyah, would sit from the time of the morning prayer until the time that the sun rose, and sometimes even longer than that, making istighfar and remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And he would say, I cannot be sustained, meaning this is my energy for the day. I cannot be sustained without it. What are we doing with our time, and how much are we benefiting from the act of worship, of remembering Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? One of the scholars commented on an experience that sounds a little odd for most people, but it's the experience of having to go to the bathroom or the restroom. You cannot make dhikr while you're in the bathroom. You're not allowed to mention the name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So some of the scholars, as they were studying or reading in their homes or wherever they were, if they would take a break to go to the bathroom or the restroom, the lavatory, they would ask the people who are reading the books to raise their voices so they can continue hearing and benefiting, because they themselves are not allowed to recite the name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala or mention it. And as a person leaves the bathroom, one of the scholars is commenting on this, you're asking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for forgiveness, ghufranak. Why are you asking Allah for forgiveness? It's not like you did anything wrong. You simply went to the bathroom and you came back out. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless us all. As this person is coming out, they're asking for forgiveness. Why? Because you were in a state of time in which you could not mention the name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala or do acts of worship in the way that we imagine. And so this person is leaving out, asking Allah for forgiveness for that time that was not spent seeking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's pleasure in terms of the dhikr that we can engage in. And lastly, there's an example from our modern times. A scholar was talking about his childhood and how it changed for the better. And he said it began when he started to manage his time better. When he started to take his time seriously, he started realizing that he wasn't appreciating the days and the hours and the minutes that he had, and he started to try to value them. So his habits, as they started to change, made him realize that he had to cut out certain things. So he had, for example, a number of sports that he used to watch. He said sometimes between 15 to 20 hours a week, his family was watching sports or football or soccer or something else. He started cutting that out slowly. He said, I noticed I became happier with the things that I was actually doing. I became happier with the results. Temporarily, a person who's engaged in entertainment or leisure might think that they are enjoying themselves because it's an easy thing to do. It doesn't require a lot of effort. But he said the long-term benefit of actually using that time for seeking knowledge or publishing or writing ended up making me a much happier person and less regretful for the time that I used for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.